Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's been 2 years since I've been up here, so I got a lot to make up for. I'm Bill Gobby, the retired pastor who hangs around here sometime. Today, I guess I'll be the retread pastor. And I just want to thank Jim Criss, our chairman, for having the fortitude to ask me. After all, it's dangerous to ask a retired preacher to preach. It all comes back. Now, for some of you like Terry, who ordered a pizza to come in at 12 o'clock, I am not going to preach too long, so don't worry about it. And some of you think we're going to preach on stewardship. Well, it's a good topic, but not today, because actually, from the time that Pastor went on his leave, the Lord laid on my heart that if I was ever asked to pray, that I should speak from Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Now, I questioned that when finally I was asked to preach, and the Lord confirmed it, so that's where I'm going. And as I prepared, I really saw why he did this. Now, Hebrews demonstrates the superiority of Jesus over the Old Testament servant. I mean, Jesus was a superior revealer of God. He was a superior priesthood of God. He had a superior covenant, and of course, he was a superior sacrifice for our sins, the only sacrifice that really counts. All others pointed towards his sacrifice. So, as we come to the end of the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, we read, therefore. Now, I'm sure you've heard this, it's an old one. Anytime you see therefore, ask what it's there for. And he is summing up all of what he has spent the first 11 chapters talking about. And he comes to what I sometimes refer to and heard other people refer to, the so what moment. I read an article once, you know, that's to preachers, and it said, when it's all said and done, ask yourself, so what? Why did you take the people's time and talk to them? What's going to happen? And that's actually what the writer to the Hebrews is doing here, okay? I've told you all about Jesus, Christ the King, as we are celebrating today. Now, so what? What difference is it going to make in your life? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with patience the race marked out before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So here we see the importance of making every effort to move towards the goal of Christian maturity. Jesus has offered us so much. He's giving us his life. He's giving us his spirit. Now let's move on. And that's what he's talking about here. Now, of course, he's using the analogy of the race because the Romans and the Hebrew, and the, excuse me, the Greeks really loved games, and that's where, of course, the Olympic Games came from. And he understood that as runners came to the start, they wanted to run successfully. So he's taking that analogy and he's urging Christians to strive to run successfully in the Christian race. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts. Holy Spirit, we pray for you to come and do your work. I certainly know that no word I say is going to change anybody, but the word that your Spirit speaks into hearts could be a marvelous experience for people today, and I pray they will experience that. Lord, hide me behind the cross and let your message come through. In Jesus' name, amen. Picture this. A race is set. And I got his attention so much he didn't look at the notes. The racers are all ready to go. It's a 50-yard dash, and the course is set. The goal is marked out. The runners, as you can see, are ready. The starting gun goes off, and one runs over that way. Another runs back that way. Another runs out and stops and scratches his head. And another sits down and ties his shoes. No, of course not. You see those guys. They are ready to go. The problem the writer to the Hebrews faced was my analogy, what was happening in Christian lives. Now, the early church had been set its course and was on its way. It was beginning to run. And then all sorts of persecution came in and arguments. Do we need to be circumcised or don't we if we become Christian, you know, and so on and on. And pretty soon, everybody got distracted. And Satan loves that. And he encourages that. In fact, he gives you good ideas. I mean, bad ideas. But they're good from his point of view. To really keep that going and rolling along. But we find that the Hebrew writer has a message for these people. If you're uncertain, if you're weary, what is the cure? Well, two phrases jump out from the scripture today. Fix your eyes on Jesus. In other words, concentrate on him. And the other is, consider him. Think about him. Don't just react, oh yeah, that's Jesus. Think about him. Think what that really means. Now, I have paraphrased all of that to the simple thought and idea of focus on Jesus. Yes, it's Christ the King Sunday, but let's really make him king this morning by thinking about him. Now, why do I think that Hebrews 12 fits us well? Well, let's face it. In the last 2 years, COVID has turned things upside down. We don't have to go into that. It's in all the articles. It's in all the papers. It's in all of our lives. I see a lot of family here today because we haven't been able to get together because of COVID. People are arguing about what should they do or not do with COVID. And, you know, it's just crazy what's happening in society today. People are having life crises and don't have the usual support system that they would have. Like the early Christians, many have become uncertain and weary. And so I pray this morning that as we look into this scripture, that the Spirit will lead us and make real to us this challenge from Hebrews. Focus on Jesus. Now, in our scripture this morning, the first thing that he really emphasizes is that we will see Jesus as the author of our faith. Now, faith starts when? Well, It starts when the Lord really works in our lives and calls us to himself. So many people think that we have to work up faith in ourselves. No, that's works. And certainly as Lutherans, I trust we do not believe that we are saved nor sanctified by works. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit. And really, we need to understand that Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, friends, Jesus as the object of faith stimulates our faith. Listen to the words of Jesus. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a wonderful invitation? How we need to hear it. Listen to Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And what a wonderful hope a lot of us have, I hope all of us have. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come and get you again. This world isn't all. And let's always remember that, friends, that we are not looking at the years that we spend upon this earth to evaluate our lives. We're looking at the broader spectrum of eternity where God is still at work. Look at Jesus' life. See him caring for people. See him going out and taking time for people. Look at him meeting the needs of people. See him raising their spiritual sights. See him giving them hope. The way Jesus is often preached today, you sound like he's a judge that's sitting there ready to whop you on the head and not really care about you. He cares. He wants to help us. He wants to offer us that true salvation. Focusing on Jesus helps us to trust him. Now, this scripture, most Bible scholars feel, refers to Numbers 21, which we read in our scripture lessons this morning, where the Israelites spoke against God and just had enough of that funny stuff he sent every morning for them to eat. And on this crazy journey they were on, they'd had enough of that. And so God took care of them. He sent snakes among them. Aren't you glad God doesn't do that today? Oh, we won't go there. And so, of course, the people yelled, help. And we saw about making the bronze snake, putting it on a pole, which, of course, today is still the symbol of physicians. And if they looked at the snake, they were healed. What a beautiful analogy of salvation. We have been bitten by sin. We are dying from it. And we cannot be saved from it unless we look at Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, if I be lifted up, which he was upon the cross, I will draw all men unto me. We need to realize again the Lord is calling us to come to him. And we need to realize there's power in the gospel to change lives. I was reminded of this some years ago when I attended a seminar for pastors put on by the Billy Graham organization. He used to do that when he had a crusade in a town. Graham had a great sense of humor. He got up and he said, now let's get this out of the way, guys. All of you are sitting there thinking, why is he so good? I'm a better preacher than he is. And he said, you're right. I'm not a very good preacher. But he said, the difference between you and me is this. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ has power to save people. And a lot of you have forgotten that. and you think you need to do tricks, you think you need to do other things, and you don't really trust the wonderful power of Jesus to save people. And I think we need to be reminded of that on this Christ the King Sunday. He has power to change our lives, and that power did not stop when we accepted the Lord as our personal Savior. In fact, that was just the beginning. And friends, this morning I want to ask you, are you willing to let Jesus Christ birth new faith in you? Maybe you're here this morning and you never really have accepted Jesus as your Savior. Oh, I know most of you probably that are here today understand that phraseology and understand that concept. But have you done it? Have you really put your faith in Him? This would be a wonderful day to do that, friends. And if you, I would suggest you seek out somebody in whom you have spiritual confidence today and really seal that deal with the Lord. But as I look out over this crowd, I think most of us will have to admit our problem isn't that we haven't accepted the Lord. Our problem is that our faith has grown dim. It's been squeezed down and covered over by all the stuff that's been happening. Believe Him today in a new way, I challenge you. Which leads us right into the next idea. He said Jesus was the author of faith. Also, Jesus is the perfecter of faith. And we look to Jesus to perfect our faith. Some scriptures will say, finisher. I like the, and the Greek seems to support better the idea of perfecter. Because I don't think any of us have perfect faith yet here this morning. Maybe there's a few of you that put up with the rest of us that don't, but most of us don't. But that's all right. God wants to perfect us. Which leads us to ask this question. What kind of gospel do we have? Now, I like this quote from Dallas Willard, one of my favorite writers. We have to come to a gospel that naturally leads us to transformation. The way the gospel is often preached today, you think it all ends at the moment that you accept the Lord as your Savior. Not true. That's the beginning of the transformation, and He is transforming us. What kind of faith do you have this morning? Is it fire insurance? I don't want to go to hell, so of course I'll accept the Lord as my Savior. No. So much more than that. It's learning a new life. It's learning how to really enjoy life and be an effective person. It's life transforming, and that's the kind of faith we need to be talking about. I suppose the theologians among you would say, well, we're talking about sanctification. Yeah, we are. And there's two phrases in this text that I want to point out. Throw off everything that hinders and free yourself from the sin that so easily entangles. Now, athletes gladly give up an awful lot, because their goal is to win the race. And that should be our mindset as Christians too. The choices we have are not between good and bad. Those are pretty obvious choices most of the time. But it's between the better and the best. And are we really looking for the best? Now, there's a lot of discussion about what it is that hinders us, this weight, as some scriptures talk about it. Well, let's understand this. A weight can be something that is harmless and legitimate. But it hinders our relationship with Jesus. It saps spiritual energy. If I could have a dime in the 65 years I've been in the ministry, every time somebody said to me, well, isn't this all right? What's wrong with it? That isn't the question, friends. The question is, what does it do to help your relationship with Jesus? How does it encourage your spiritual life to grow? That's the question. Is it giving you more spiritual energy, or is it dragging you down? It might be a habit. Might be some priorities you have in your life that you need to reconsider. Might be some viewpoints that you hold on things. I hear a lot of crazy things today, people telling me what how Christians view things. I've had to tell a number of people, that's fine, but I don't view it that way. We need to keep our focus on Jesus, friends, and not get involved in a lot of other stuff. I forget that word that Luther called it. Pardon? Adiaphora. Adiaphora, thank you. They're trying to make me a Lutheran around here. And I like it. That is just stuff that doesn't matter. Forget it. What's important? What makes you grow in the Lord, and what makes your spiritual energy grow? Free yourself from the sin that so easily entangles. Now, most of us here have our specialty in this matter. We have those little pet sins that the Lord keeps convicting us of, and we keep sort of sweeping under the rug. I'll be very honest with you. I thought I had mine figured out, and coming down here today as I honked at the person who wasn't going through the stoplight fast enough, I realized I have two besetting sins. Patience is not one of my virtues. And I need to really work on this. But the main one that I have is worry. You know, when I was a kid, my parents' nickname for me was their little worry wart. I could find something to worry about in anything. And it hasn't stopped, I'm sorry to say. It's a sin that entangles me. Now you may say, is worry a sin? Well, let's go back to what I said earlier. Does it take your focus off of Jesus? Then it's a sin. If it's some little thing that doesn't really matter, nah, it's not a sin. Some of you have been very gracious in talking about the things I've written in Desert Scrolls for the last month, last 6 weeks, I guess it's been now. And I really was convicted in this last one. I don't know what I wrote, because I've written several things, so I don't know which one I wrote it in. But I really was convicted. Do I really believe that God answers the prayers of his people? I've been encouraging you to pray. I've been giving you things to pray about. And I worry about this, and I worry about that. What if that happens? Oh, and the Spirit gently says, do you really believe me, Bill? And I have to confess. Aren't you glad for that wonderful scripture? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And that wasn't written for salvation. That was written to Christians who the writer knew would need it. Friends, this morning, focus on Jesus. He alone can perfect our faith. Well, as Jesus is perfecter of our faith, Then our challenge in the scripture is to focus on Jesus to stay the course. Focus on Jesus to stay the course. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now, the Greek tense is to keep running. Concentrate on finishing the course. Listen to Paul's testimony. Now, we won't get into argument, I should have said this in the beginning, about who wrote the book of Hebrews. Since you had, don't you have two doctorates, and you've studied in Germany, I'm sure you've got this all figured out. And of course, Pastor Brian back there does too, but we don't know if it was Paul or if it was someone else. And you know what? Doesn't matter. It's been affirmed to be the Word of God. I kind of lean towards Paul because I think, listen to his testimony here in Philippians 3, 13 to 14. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a picture of running the race with perseverance? I think it really is. And why should we do this? Well, friends, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Will you notice, friends, he only gives us two alternatives here? Consider him or lose heart and faint. Most of us want to hope there's a road down the center there that we can go. We can do a little of either. Doesn't work that way. We have to decide, are we really going to believe he's the one in charge? Or are we just going to get discouraged with all the junk that's going on and give up? Because that's the picture that's here. Faint. Pass out. I've had enough of this. I can't handle anymore. Which course are we going to take? So that you will grow weary and lose, not grow weary and lose heart. Does that sound familiar, friends? Now, you have people online, I'm sure, and we have a few visitors today, but I really want to talk to us as the Desert Hope family for a minute. Think what we've been through for the last year and a half. Think about it objectively. Very suddenly, we lost our founding pastor, which was a jolt to everybody. I think it took 2 weeks for people even conceived of what had happened. And then this this COVID came in, and we couldn't even give him a decent farewell and say goodbye. And then we went into a period of study, trying to figure out, what are our church's needs at this time? Using this as an opportunity to grow. And you remember we called in church doctors and they produced that report. I forget how thick it all was, but it was a big report. It was a good report. It said a lot of good things about us and it said a lot of sobering things about us. We needed to be more outward focused. We needed to be attracting younger families. We needed to realize we are here as missionaries to our community and not as a country club to make each other comfortable. That was a pretty strong statement they made. After we all shivered and fought it, we saw, well, that is a danger, isn't it? That is a danger. So we worked then very hard on calling a new pastor. Now, I can speak to this, and I won't, since I was on the call committee. I think everybody that was could agree with me. We worked hard. And we prayed hard in looking for a new pastor. And when God finally led in that process, we rejoiced at our new pastor's passion for the Lord. And we were all excited about where we're going now and how we're moving ahead. And then we were disoriented and left questioning by his illness and the fallout from it. Let's be honest. Let's talk about it. That's the way people have felt. Now, I know we don't want to admit this, but I think if we were honest with ourselves, we'd have to say, and I'm afraid I have to say, I've been tempted to grow weary and give up. Ah, Satan saw a tremendous opportunity. Oh boy, was he wringing his hands with joy. And we were full force into a spiritual battle, arguing over the dumbest things, getting offended at the, really? You know, we lost our focus. We lost the sight of the goal. Now, I can say this today because you can't fire me. There's some good things here. But I read a wonderful article once that I want us to understand. And it said, Satan is attacking you. You're in a spiritual battle. Rejoice! Why? Because you must be doing something right, because he doesn't bother those who aren't doing something for him. And friends, we've been doing some right things. This is a wonderful church coming into it. We've been in here, what, 5.5 years now. We love this church. I've been associated with and seen a lot of churches in my years, especially since I was in leadership in what you would call synod affairs. We have something unique here. And it's worth fighting for. And not letting Satan have his way. I think it's time to fight back and tell him to get off our backs. We stand for Jesus Christ, who is not only Christ the King, he's Christ the Victor. Remember Jesus said in John 14, 16 to 18, that he would be with us. Not only with us, he'd be in us. Friends, we're not alone in this fight. This is when we really grow and see our wonderful opportunity to see the victory of Jesus in our lives and in our church. So I'm asking this morning for the Holy Spirit to give each of us a new commitment to him. To him first. And then to his ministry here at Desert Scrolls as he wants it to move forward. Guess what I'm editor of? Ain't on my mind very much. Well, at least you're awake. Usually by now I put everybody to sleep. All right, friends, now we come to the so what part of the sermon. It's the conclusion. I actually have a little timer up here. And I've, all right. Shut up. You know, when we get defeated and we allow ourselves to go down, we become the kind of Christians that many people have accused the church of being. Saved, sanctified, and petrified. And we don't want to be that way. We want to be living, vital Christians. We want to know Jesus as the perfecter of our faith. So as you think of that commitment this morning, what might it be? I'm asking you to zero in on something. You say, good, I must commit more to the Lord. That's a great general thing. Now think of something specific. Something specific in your Christian walk. It'll be different for each of us. It might be to get rid of some weight that you have, some priority you have that shouldn't be there. Yeah? It certainly will be to get rid of some sin that might be there. I think for a lot of people, we need to come back and realize what we pray in the Lord's Prayer every Sunday morning. Forgive us as we forgive others. Now, here's another statement I can make because you can't fire me. I think there's a lot of forgiveness that needs to go on. A lot of forgiveness needs to be asked for. A lot of forgiveness needs to be accepted. Friends, this morning, that is one of the distinguishing marks of the Christian religion. Because Jesus Christ, through God's grace, forgives us of our sins, we can be free to forgive others. I love another Willard quote. The person who has the most control over your life is the person you haven't forgiven. Think about that. Maybe this morning, we need to see Jesus, see people as Jesus does. Maybe we need to ask God to sanctify our tongue and our conversation. Maybe we need to reconsider our pledge. Maybe we need to volunteer to serve. Patty Tebow has been doing a tremendous job of running these seminars on finding your spiritual gift, and I hope more of you will do that. And maybe we need to commit deserving in some way. It'll be different, but I want us to be Nike Christians. You know that old statement? Just do it. Get specific and do it. Now to help us, as I end today, and you know the definition of a person who has a wonderful optimistic feeling. It's the person who puts his coat on when the pastor says, in conclusion. But I won't go too bad on that. This slide is up on the screen. You quoted this in the last Desert Scrolls. Sometimes life is so hard, you can only do the next thing. Whatever that is, just do the next thing and God will meet you there. And let's do that, friends. I have a counselor friend, and one of his techniques that he uses with people, especially as we get, I'm not sure. He said, what's the next? The only thing you can do in life is the next thing. You may be thinking about that or that. You may not be able to do that, but you can do the next thing. So what is the next thing to move your life forward? Friends, as you come to the altar this morning to take communion, one thing I love about being a Lutheran is that's not just a ritual. Jesus is there to meet us. He is there to help us. He is there to move us ahead. Talk to him about it as you come today. Friends, my prayer for our church is that we will be a place where we have Jesus so in focus that needy people can see him, can find him, can know him in a living and life-changing way. Will you join me in this pursuit by focusing on Jesus? Thank you.